got a lot of visitors and also old friends in the audience this morning. It's good to have everyone here today. We're going to be continuing our series on child training. Our theme verse kind of is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And we talked about, if you recall, a couple weeks ago, the importance of expectations. If we expect disobedience, if we expect disrespect, if we expect rebellion, we will get that. You will get some of that if you expect the opposite. But if you expect the opposite, when it pops up, you will remove that and train that away if we're doing our jobs. But if we get to where we expect it, then the adults are no longer in control. Then the child has decided and dictated, this is the way it's going to go. I'm going to throw the tantrum, and mom's going to fall in line. I'm going to throw the tantrum, and dad's going to give in. And then the parents back off, and they say, well, what can you do? Well, what we can do is do the job that God gave us to do. And that's what the children themselves need. In fact, I'll mention this in a minute, but there was something in the news recently that was pretty interesting along that line. We gave the analogies of like a garden and whether you tend it or not, whether or not you take care of the weeds. And we talked about the importance of no in early child training. That when mom says no, it's got to be no. When dad says no, it's got to be no. And don't allow them to, mom says no, so they run to dad and try to get it vetoed. Or dad says no and try to run mom. Be mom and dad, you got a job here together. Don't let the children manipulate that. Don't let them give defiant, rebellious no. And we talked about those things. Then we began this, parenting pitfalls. We make mistakes when we're parenting. I don't know of a parent that hasn't made a mistake, and I certainly know that this parent has made many. Over 30 years of raising kids, I realize that today. I've had a child 10 or under in my home for the last 30 and a half years. It's sometimes I've done it right, and sometimes I've done it wrong, and it makes a difference. When we do our job right, it makes a difference, and when we do our job wrong, we need to realize that and adjust to it. I remember my own mom. It was a mean thing to do, but after I was a grown man, I could remind her of the time that she gave me a spanking for something one of my brothers did. As a grown woman, I'd say, oh yeah, I remember that time. And she would feel so bad. Of course, I didn't at that point care about it anymore, but say, oh, I'm sorry. We're going to make mistakes. One of the really important things, though, is that if we make mistakes, being willing to admit that to our children. Because children also see it when we make mistakes. And that's an opportunity for them to see, how do you handle it when you make a mistake? Do you deny what you did? Or do you acknowledge it? We went through the first one, failing to discipline. And our society has really, by and large, just failed to discipline now. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Discipline your son while there is hope. Do not desire his death. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Have you ever noticed with a small child, they're just starting to push the edges, the boundaries, getting a little disrespectful, not really obeying when they're supposed to. Kind of, they get the spanking, and then what? They turn around. They have a different attitude. They're more affectionate. They were exploring and pushing, but they're happier when they're trained. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike with the rod, he will not die. The rod and reproof bring wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. On that first one, I remember mom would say, go get a switch. And we'd have to go out the yard, get a switch, bring it back to her. The rod and reproof bring wisdom. We're going to explore that in a good bit of detail later. A child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son. He will give you comfort. He will delight your soul. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Now, the point I wanted to make that it was in the news recently, I think most people saw in the trouble that was in Baltimore and the issues there and the protests and then the looters and everything, there were some young men that were throwing rocks at the police. And I think probably most people saw one mom that recognized her boy out there throwing rocks at the police, and she went out and got him. Now, by her admission, she says, I lost it. And I would not recommend listening to it with the audio on, because I understand it was pretty profane. I'm not recommending everything about what that mother did. But it was very interesting watching that unfold. We live in a culture where a lot of people want to tell you that you shouldn't ever physically discipline a child. Don't beat your child. Don't do things out of anger. Now, I believe she was angry. Of course, he was throwing rocks at the police. But we live in a culture where it's like you're told not to discipline at all. And in fact, one of you moms, remember one time I was with you when some agent came by to talk because somebody complained about spanking your children. It was very interesting because he couldn't say it's illegal for you to do that, but he kept trying to say, you know, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. And that's just a message we get from everywhere. Well, the Bible says we should, okay? I'm not saying discipline the way that she was disciplining, but the Bible says discipline. But here's why I bring that up. It was interesting on the news how people approached that. First off, the chief of police in Baltimore did not say, we had reports of a mother, you know, that disciplined her son and we're going to arrest her. What did he say? He said, we had one mom go out there and do something about it. He said, I wish we had more like that. One of those morning shows on NBC, they were interested. And here's footage of a woman disciplining her son. You know, in some other contexts, they might have been calling for a lot of other things. But here's something else interesting. You might have wondered how that boy was going to live with himself after that. I saw an interview of him with his mom a couple of days later. And he was sitting there with his mom, and he was smiling. And you can tell he's a little embarrassed, but he said, man, he said, everybody knows my mom. And he said, I didn't realize how much my mom loved me. And at that moment, if she could go back and maybe do it differently, I would recommend some parts would be done differently. But even as poorly as she may have handled some of it, what did he understand she was doing? He understood, she loves me. Was she angry? Yes, she was angry, but that was not a selfish anger. She wanted her son out of there. And whether she handled it the best way or not, he could see she loved me. Now, there are people that have just abused their children, and it's not because they love their children. There are people out there, and they deserve to be in jail or worse, who they are just angry and take it out on their children, hurt their children, have killed their children. That is not discipline. This woman may have lost it, but she was acting out of love for her child. There are people out there who do horrible, horrible physical things, and it is not out of love for their child. What the Bible is talking about is something to do for the love of the child. Remember this one up there? He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Do not listen to those people that tell you that if you love your child, you will not discipline your child. That is the exact opposite of what the Bible tells us. Let's go to mistake number two, rewarding misbehavior. Why do children throw tantrums? It works. That's one of the reasons why. You look at children who their parents don't let them throw tantrums and it doesn't work, and guess what? Yeah, they don't throw those tantrums. Children throw tantrums because it works. You don't want to lower the bar and accommodate misbehavior and facilitate misbehavior. And let me mention here on this. As you look at that one, how many of us would look back at different episodes and realize at this point or that point we should have disciplined our child and didn't? I think most of us would say, there were times I failed discipline. A lot of people, did you ever reward misbehavior? And I think first glance, a lot of parents would say, no, I never did that. And if you think of it like, here, Timmy, go kick grandma and I'll give you $5. No. Parents don't do that, but parents do reward misbehavior all the time. And it's when, by the child misbehaving, they get their way. Let me give you an illustration. Here is two moms, and there's a couple of little ones right here, and here's an older boy here. One mom has come with her older boy to visit the home of the littler boys. The littler boys are watching some video, very, very child-appropriate, small child thing. And the little bit bigger boy, that's just too babyish for him. And so he just goes in, he pushes him out of the way, they start crying. He puts in something else, he wants to watch something. And then, he's knocked over that child that's crying, and the moms come in, and they say, he did this, he did this. Well, they were watching that stupid thing and everything. Here's visiting mama, and she goes, Timmy, you shouldn't have done that. You need to share, you need to be nice. You shouldn't push the other children. Okay, all these are things up to a point. And then she goes, do you have maybe another DVD player, so my son could watch his program and they could watch theirs? What did she just do? Her words of saying you shouldn't do that mean absolutely nothing because she didn't back it up. You know what? Timmy's a little brat. He's a little brat and he's a little bully and he's very, very selfish and he doesn't have to be that way. But you need to stop him right now for his sake. Because he's going to be a miserable, bratty person. And he's going to make other people miserable too, unless, Mom, you step up right now and do your job. And he needs, the last thing in the world he needs is to get his way on that. He's just demonstrated he doesn't deserve his way. He's just demonstrated he's got no respect for other people. And it's time you teach him that. And he needs to get a spanking, probably, I'd recommend, right in front of those other kids. And he needs to apologize to them and to their mom. And then he's going to sit over here until you go home. Well, that might not make him happy. He shouldn't get to be happy about being a bully. He shouldn't get to be happy about being selfish. He needs to be taught. He needs to be trained. And that's a good time to do it. Letting a child get his way is not doing him a favor. It will spoil him. Letting a child get him his way will not satisfy him. It will spoil him. There was a study done with playground in a city where you had busy streets and traffic and strangers and everything. There was no fence. They observed where the children played. They tended to stay toward the middle of the playground. They put up a fence. Guess where the children play? All over the playground. Why? Now the boundaries are clear. Children need boundaries. Children, if you're not setting good boundaries, they will test the boundaries and they will push it and push it, but they will be happier when they have boundaries. How many of you have had children in your home who don't have boundaries at home? Maybe don't come from a good family situation and stuff. And at home, it's chaos. Sometimes there's no boundaries at all, or other times maybe there's someone that's an alcoholic or abusive, or just you don't know what to. But they get in your home and there's boundaries, how do they respond? They love it. And they respect your boundaries, don't they? They don't pitch a fit on you. You've set your boundaries, they're there, and they thrive in that setting, don't they? They're excited if they can be in that setting. Somebody said the difference between a boy and a pig is that if you give both of them everything they want, you will get a really, really tasty pig and a really, really rotten boy. The Bible says, a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Let's take the little guy and you've seen him at Walmart or the grocery store or whatever, and they want something. Mommy, can I have that? No, that's not what we're getting. I want it. Shh, no, we're not getting that today. No, you're embarrassing me. Guess who knows that? He knows that. He knows the louder he gets, the more embarrassed you get. And the more embarrassed you get, guess what? Sugar cocoa bombs in the basket. So it's like, I want it, I hate you, you're mean, I hate you. And it's kicking up, no, stop. I'm sorry. Okay. And he's got his little trophy. Horrible. Somebody told me a couple of years ago, I was talking about this, and they said, I saw a guy. He said, this kid said, I want that truck. And the father said, no, we're not going to get it. I want it. No, we're not going to get it. I want it. It kept through the whole line. It said, I want that truck. No, we're not going to get it. And going through the line, wait. The fellow just kept on. The father said, no, over and over. Finally, the guy said, I want that truck. He said, okay. The cashier and the man behind here, I don't remember if they actually said, I think maybe one of them did say, oh, yeah, one of them did. They said, after all that, you're going to give it to him. He said, oh, why not? I told you a couple weeks ago about the true story. I think it was Bob Bunting saw it, about the little kid that kept refused what they were given to eat. And it said, wow, well, what do you want? A worm. And then made the parent cook the worm, make the parent cut it into two. Made the parent eat part of the worm, and they did. And then what did the child do? You remember the story? It's not a happy child. The child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Of course children should get their way some of the time. But it has to be a submissive way. It's when mom and dad say, you can choose anything you want out of this. Then they get their way there. Would you rather do this or that? Then they get their way there. But when you've said what's happened, parent magazines. I was in a dentist's office a while back. And this bothers me because you figure people pick up these magazines thinking, oh, I'll get parenting advice here. Don't read those magazines. When I was in the dentist's office, it said, what to do about when your child's using bad language. And we're not talking about third grade unpleasant terms here. We're talking four-letter barroom brawl words and stuff. And they said, if your child says this, and it didn't say discipline, it said, provide them suggestions of more appropriate ways to express their... Listen, when people are yelling obscenities and profanities, they weren't searching for an intelligent, pleasant, polite way to respond. They're using those words because they're not polite, because they're not appropriate. The other day, I was reading one, and it was about the principle of having your child eat at least one bite of something. And this mom and say, we used to have that policy with my firstborn, and they wanted to please and stuff, and they would eat it. But now we've got another child, and he won't eat it. So, guess what? I gave up on that policy. You know what she said in the article? This is in a parenting magazine. She said, I gave up on that policy of requiring them to eat at least one bite because it might interfere with their independence. You know, when you fill out your taxes and ask you how many dependents you have, you look. The five-year-old at your table, he didn't earn it. He didn't clean it. He didn't shuck it or grind it or season it or cook it. And he's probably not the one being cleaned up the dishes. And he's pretty much entirely dependent on you. That robin that we talked about, after a few weeks, it goes and gets its own worms. Okay? And the child that we talked about had the parent go get a worm and still wouldn't eat it. When you're feeding your child is dependent upon you. And to think, I don't want to interfere with his independence. Children should be dependent on their parents. Now, privilege and responsibility. As they're being respectful, then you can give them choices. But they have to learn first to be respectful and do the right thing. Then you start giving them options would you like to do this? And you let start learning them learn some independence in some healthy ways. To sit there and after mom has prepared food and let the five-year-old say, no, that's not the kind of independence that needs to be rewarded. Number three, expecting misbehavior. We're not talking about wanting misbehavior, hoping for misbehavior, or preferring misbehavior. We're talking about expecting misbehavior. Stuff like, oh, we can't take him to the restroom. There's no way Junior's going to sit still for an hour. Well, after all that sugar, he's going to be impossible. Oh, I'll never get him to eat that. Or, sorry, my son's not much of a sharer. In all of these, what's mom and dad just done? The child is in charge. They misbehave. The parents have fallen in submission to the child's misbehavior. Let me ask you a question. Who on God's green earth is put there to train that child? That child's mom and dad. If that child's mom and dad is not training the child, who's going to do it? It's not going to get done. And then when that child grows up, if they want to correct these rotten attitudes in their life, they're going to have to do it themselves without having the security and assistance of people that were to be wiser than them when they were little. Don't take that away from a child. Don't allow a child to make childish, foolish decisions that will harm them and develop into deep habits that then they have to try to work themselves out of later. Train them. Help them with that. And by the way, this one here, I know different people react different way to different foods, and there's some people that need to not eat certain foods, but I've seen too much stuff blamed on sugar. Sugar's not that healthy for you. If you want to have a diet without any sugar, fine. But I'm going to tell you what I've seen. I've seen trained, happy, secure children that are able to go to a birthday party and eat ridiculous amounts of sugar and still behave. And I mean, birthday food is some of the worst. I mean, you got the cake, you got icing this thick, and then maybe drinking Kool-Aid with it. And just there. And does it give you energy? Sure. And you might have a bunch of kids playing, they're excited and everything, but when the moms say, okay, kids, you know, we need to go, let's clean up, what do well-trained children do? They may have been jumping around and happy, but then they can clean up tell Mrs. Jones, thank you, you know, and then why? Because they're trained. Sugar gives energy. So does high-octane gasoline. Yeah. Now, I noticed my gauge says I'm low on gas. So afterwards, I'm probably going to go over here to Sheets and put in some, and it takes high-octane, so I'm going to put in some high-octane gasoline. How many of you would recommend that then I take off down the road full throttle? And then when the police pull me over, I say, well, after all that gasoline. That's not an excuse, is it? Expecting misbehavior. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Let's do one more, and then we'll finish for today. This one's huge. It's one of the biggest ones of all. And it's hard to do. But when we don't do it, it's a mess. Failing to be consistent. What did it say in Proverbs 13:24? He who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him, how do you discipline them? If you love them, what's the key word there? Diligently. In fact, there's two key words. You do it out of love. Not because I'm angry at the child, not because the child, you do it out of love. This is what I want for the child. And you do it diligently. A child psychologist once wrote, and some child psychologists don't know what they're talking about. This one I think did. He said, children are like little gamblers. What does a gambler do? A gambler is trying to hit that payoff. He knows it won't hit every time, but he's trying to hit it. People play the lottery. I asked down at the little gas station below our house one time, the people who are buying lottery tickets, how much they spend? He said most of them will spend about $50 on lottery tickets a week. And in some, I used to study with a guy, he would spend his entire pay for the week on scratch-offs down in Maryland. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Do those people, when you see somebody at the station and they're getting their lottery tickets, do they believe that when Powerball is done tonight that they're going to win? What do you think? No. They don't. It didn't happen last week or the week before. So why are they doing it? Because it might. They think if they keep doing it, they might win. They don't expect to win every time. They just think what? They might. The odds are not in their favor, but they might win. You know what would shut it down? If you go in there and you tell people, hey, do you realize that your odds of actually winning that are such, they're going to still do what? Buy lottery tickets. What if the state of Pennsylvania now announced this? We are having budget problems, and so we're not going to have any more lottery playoffs. But we still want the proceeds to benefit elderly Pennsylvanians. So we're going to still do the numbers just for fun. But nobody will get paid anything. No instant $5, no instant $10, no $28 million, nothing. We're going to pay exactly nothing. And that's made clear to everybody. How many people are going to play the lottery? What changed? It went from, it's probably not going to work, to what? It's not going to work. You know when Junior's going to behave? When it goes from, it might not work, to, it's not going to work. When he knows that the lottery's shut down, then he's going to behave. I want you to imagine a city that treated parking violations like this. You have a historic area. You have people wanting to see it. This part here, you can't have any parking there. You got the signs up, no parking. But people wish they could park there. What if everybody knows this is how it's enforced? If you park there, you're going to get a white ticket after 10 minutes of being parked there. And it's going to say, I asked you not to park here. If you stay there, you're going to get a blue ticket that says, did you hear me? I said not to park here. If you stay there up to half an hour, you're going to get a green ticket. I really mean it. Do not park here. After 10 more minutes, you will get an orange or yellow ticket. I'm colorblind. Said, don't make me tell you again. After 50 minutes, you're going to get the orange ticket. I'm going to start counting to 10. And then after an hour, the meter maid, I have had it. You're in trouble now. And you're going to get towed or fined. What do you suppose that area would look like? Everybody knows that's the routine. What do you suppose it's going to look like? Well, I'm going to suggest that instead of looking like that, it's going to look kind of like that. With lots of white and blue and yellow and orange orange tickets all over the cars. And what's everybody doing? Getting out there before you get the red. And so years ago in Nebraska, I was talking about this, and a fellow told a story he was familiar with within the family where the little girl was upstairs, and she was playing along. I think her name was Mary Elizabeth, and her mom calls her, Mary, come down here. She just ignores it and kept playing. And a little bit more, Mary, I said, come down here. She just kept ignoring it. Mary, get down here. She kept ignoring it. Finally, she goes, Mary Elizabeth, and used her middle name. Get down here. And her aunt said, Mary, why don't you go? She said, she'll call three more times. It's you get to choose. Do you want your child to obey you when you tell them what to do? Or do you want to have to go through this routine? I remember over here at the homeless shelter, I was visiting with somebody over there back when they had the homeless shelter on Stratton. And while I was sitting there, there was this woman, and she was talking to her son. He was reaching for something. She said, he's about maybe 12. He said, don't do that. Don't touch that. No, do not get that. Don't touch it. No, don't do that. He just went ahead and did it. He said, oh, I'm going to get him a hearing aid. He needed some assistance, but it's not on his hearing. When we do that, we're doing a disservice to our child. We're undermining the authority and the responsibility that we were given. What does the Bible tell children to do? Ephesians chapter 6. Obey your father and mother. If we facilitate and reward misbehavior, what are we doing? We're encouraging our children to disobey God. Sometimes if you are disciplining your children, you will have people tell you, oh, you shouldn't, and they'll make it like it's a power trip that you're trying to control your child too much. Children need to be trained. And it's not selfish to train children. It's selfish to not do the work of training children. The children need it. And when we, out of love and consistency, help train them, they start responding. But we need to do it out of love. We need to do it diligently. And we need to do it consistently. We grow up and we realize that we've disobeyed our Heavenly Father. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And if there are some this morning that need to come back to that Father, won't you come to the stage?